Welcome to Parshas HaShavua. This week is Parshas Nosoi. Interestingly enough, just to point out, it is only Parshas Nosoi in the diaspora, in Chutz La'aretz, but not in Eretz Yisrael. This is one of those years where this happens, because our brothers and sisters in Eretz Yisrael had Yom Tov Shavuos on Friday, but then Shabbos was not Shavuos for them, because they only have one day Yom Tov, so therefore it was a regular Shabbos, and they already leined Nosoi, which means this week is Parshas Baaloischo for them, but for us it's still Parshas Nosoi. That means that for a number of weeks now we'll be reading a different Parsha, until we get to one of the double Parshas where we make it up, where they're a week ahead and they just do a single Parsha, we do a double Parsha, and we catch up. Just a bit of interesting knowledge. So I wanted to share an idea on Parshas Nosoi, which comes from a talk of the Lubavitcher Rebbe and other sources, just putting it together. And it goes into the concept of the beginning of Parshas Nosoi, and actually the end of Parshas Bamidbar, where we learn that the Levim, the tribe of Levi, was divided into three families. Because Levi himself, the person Levi, son of Yaakov, had three sons, Gershon, Kohos, and Merari. And therefore, in the Midbar, in the desert, they were divided into three camps of Levim. There was a fourth camp, of course, the Kohanim. Aharon and his sons were also from Shevet Levi. But now we're just focusing on the Levi. And the Torah gives specific roles to each family. So, for example, it starts with, the end of last week's parasha starts with Kohos. Kohos was one of the families of the Levi, and they were given specific instructions that when they traveled in the Midbar, they had to carry the Oroin, the Ark, and the other holy vessels in the Mishkan. Parshas Nosoi begins with Gershon, the Bnei Gershon. They had to carry the curtains and the drapes and all that, and then comes Merari, which is I think they were given the task of carrying the beams of the Mishkan and so on. Now, we have a principle that the Torah is eternal, which means that every part of the Torah is eternal and every part of the Torah is relevant. Which means that when you have something like this, it's not a specific mitzvah, it's a mitzvah given to three families of the Levim only in the desert, which means they had this mitzvah, but then afterwards it has no relevance, even when Mashiach comes, because it was only for the Midbar, for the desert, in the time when the Yidden came out of Mitzrayim. Nevertheless, we have to conclude that it is an eternal part of the Torah, and we know that Torah comes from the word Hora, which is to have lesson. So therefore, it must be a relevant portion of the Torah. And the way it works with these things is that although the mitzvah, because it's recorded in the Torah, which means it's eternal and has a lesson, it means that even though this particular commandment in the Torah has no relevance today in its practical sense, but it has a relevance in the life of the Yid and how we serve Hashem, and we have to be able to apply that in order to make it an eternal concept. So he explains the following, and it's based on Likutei Torah, that we know that the Yidden traveled in the Midbar for 40 years. Right? Now we know on the surface it's because they were punished not to go into the land of Israel because they complained about the land and so on. However, it's not just that, because if it was just that, Hashem could have brought them somewhere else just not to go into the land of Israel. But the fact they had to travel in a midbar, in a desert, for 40 years, a barren place, a place of danger and so on and so forth, means there's some other reason, which the Kutei Torah explains, that the midbar, right, the midbar, the desert, is a symbol of desolation, of emptiness, of negativity. Because no one lives there, nothing grows there, there's no real life there and so on. So therefore it's always a symbol of what we call klipa, which means impurity and things are negative. And the Yidden, and especially the Levim who took care of the Mishkan, traveling from one place to another, that travel with the power of the Mishkan, they were able to calm down the impurity of the desert and bring Kedusha into that environment. Right, and that's why we find that when they traveled, the clouds of glory killed the snakes and the scorpions and turned it into a place where it was inhabited, because now the Yidden were there as a nation. So it was all of that transformation of the spiritual desert. Now, the issue for a person, for a yid, is that sometimes upon reflection, we might conclude, first of all, in terms of our own environment, that maybe we are living in the wrong place. Maybe we're living in a midbar, in a spiritual desert, a place where people aren't keeping Torah mitzvahs, a place where people aren't growing, an environment where it just doesn't seem to be any kedusha, any holiness there. Or even more that, it has to, even more than that, we might conclude that we are ourselves a midbar, we have an emptiness within us, we're not growing ourselves, nothing to do with the environment necessarily. And therefore we fall into some sort of despair, or yiush, as they call it in Hebrew. So the lesson from the parasha is, no, we can connect to the concept of a Levi. The Levi is the holy tribe who's able to weaken. We don't have to run away. We can understand that wherever we are there because Hashem wants us to be there. We have a mission to make the environment a better place, the mission to bring holiness into the environment. And therefore, we need to tap into the Levi. We need to bring the Levi, should carry the Mishkan and weaken the forces of impurity so that we're not distracted and disturbed by it. Now, this idea of we're saying tapping into the Levi comes from the Rambam, because the Rambam at some stage talks about the tribe of Levi and all the halachas that are connected to a Levi. And then he says, Lo yishevet Levi bilvad. Not only the tribe of Levi are those special spiritual people, but anyone who wants to, anyone who's committed to learn and to grow and to daven and to do mitzvahs like the Levim, can become a Levi. Not technically in the technical sense, halachic sense, but they're also considered part of the Levi. So we have to tap into that part of us, or be like a Levi, and stand strong and carry the torch of the Mishkan around, as they did in the Midbar, and that will weaken and protect the environment to be able to withstand and to survive and to thrive, even in the environment of a Midbar. Now, how does one achieve that? So we see by the different sons of Levi. There's Gershon, there's Kohos, and there's Merari. So Gershon comes from the word legaresh, to drive away. Gershon symbolizes the concept of getting rid of toxicity, getting rid of the negativity, which normally translates into the mitzvahs loisas, saying being careful of the things we're not supposed to do, so that we create a clean environment, a clean vessel. Like sur meira, in order to have asei tov, in order to make room for the doing of good, which is kohos. Kohos comes from the word to join, to connect. The mitzvahs asei, the positive commandment, allows us to connect to Hashem. It is doing good, it is bringing good into the world. Now, it's interesting that normally we say you need to get rid of the schmutz first, the dirt first, and then we can do good. Although in the Torah, the order at the end of Parshas Bamidbar is first Kohos and then Gershon. One of the ideas behind that is because, yes, the goal is to do good. The goal is to do positive mitzvahs, but practically, you have to be Gershon first. That's why Gershon was actually older. In the Torah, it says Kohos first. But Gershon was actually older because the order of how it works is you first get rid of the bad, then bring in the good, and that's Gershon, and then Kohos. But in the Torah, it's Kohos, and then Gershon. Now, the third son of Levi is the Merari. Merari comes from the word merirus, like to be bitter or to regret, to feel uncomfortable. And that's the concept of tshuva. We need to know that even if we try to do this, and even if we fail, as long as we feel discomfort in that failing, and we take responsibility for it, and we do tshuva, then we can bounce back and continue on the avoda, the service of the two sons of Levi, Gershon and Kohos. So Gershon Kohos is sur meira, getting rid of the bad and doing mitzvahs, and merari is in case we mess up, we can always revert back and get back on the train and serve Hashem in the proper way. Have a wonderful day and a very good Shabbos.